This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's an honor to welcome back to the program Andrew Pessin. He is the chair of the philosophy department at Connecticut College, the author of many academic articles and books, including two books aimed at a general audience, The God Question, which we've talked about before, and The 60-Second Philosopher, which we'll give away a copy of this today. Andrew, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Where should we start? I want to start with where did this book come from? It's a little book. I actually, just in glancing at it, read a good portion of it just this afternoon, and it's really fun.
Well, perfect. I'm glad that the idea of it was that people might glance at it and then get caught up in it. So, you know, the basic structure of the book, it's a bunch of very short chapters. Each one takes maybe a minute and a half or so to read, and each chapter is presenting in a very accessible and hopefully entertaining and provocative way some interesting or surprising or counterintuitive idea or argument or concept. And it came from my very firm belief that all of us pretty much start off as philosophers naturally, that we're all inclined to ask questions and to notice questionable things about the world, but that many of us, we get busy with life, we grow up, we have other concerns, and we sort of stop thinking carefully about the world around us, and we stop noticing there are questions to be asked. And I really firmly believe that the philosopher within us is still there and is ready to be awakened, ready to be engaged. And so my desire was to get more people engaged with this activity of philosophizing, which is really the activity of noticing questions to be asked and pursuing answers to them.
My guest is Professor of Philosophy Andrew Pessin. You can check him out online at Andrew Pessin, PESSIN.com, and there's links to his blogs there as well. So, Andrew, what is the advantage then? I mean, I took philosophy at the College of William and Mary back in the 80s, and I can remember just spending whole semesters just mesmerized with the very questions that we were discussing and had a great deal of fun, to be perfectly honest. But what's the advantage then to an adult with the stresses and the trials of life, and we're all so busy? What's the advantage to us then to encourage us then to think more philosophically and to entertain some of these questions?
Well, I'm glad you had the experience that you did, because for many people, I think in the public perception, philosophy has the reputation of being dry and boring and abstract and removed from everyday life, and sometimes it can be that. But what most people don't realize is that philosophy also can be accessible and interesting and mesmerizing. You used a wonderful word there, and even fun, and funny, as a matter of fact. And so my hope is, I mean, my expectation is not that people will suddenly stop what they're doing and become professional philosophers. I don't think that's going to happen, and probably isn't a good thing if it does happen. But rather, my hope is that when people start to realize how interesting so many things really are, as soon as you begin to think a little bit about them, then they'll enjoy the activity of thinking a little bit, and that has immediate practical benefits, including that you get better at thinking. You learn to think more clearly and carefully and rigorously, which are wonderful skills no matter what it is you're pursuing as a career in your life. But at the same time, to come back to like the mesmerizing idea that you mentioned, I think people will come to see that the world is actually a lot more interesting and profound and amazing than they might have realized, and that's just a wonderful experience to have. So my hope is that more people can come to see that aspect of philosophy than currently do.
My guest is Andrew Pessin of Connecticut College, online at andrewpessin.com. The book is The 60-Second Philosopher, Expand Your Mind on a Minute or So a Day, and we'll be giving away a free copy here in just a few minutes. Andrew, you were talking earlier, and we've spoken before, about how kids are just natural philosophers, and they tend to ask these questions that really, really make us think about things that we've just assumed and long since stopped thinking about. My twins recently turned 8, and I can remember over the last few years, my daughter especially, asking me some questions that truly made me stop and think. And I remember a couple of them. One of them was, Daddy, why does the hill go down like this? Hmm. And another was, why is water wet? And I'm just, it's fantastic. And anybody who has had children is familiar with that experience.
Right. I say good morning to my toddler, and he says, why? And, you know, I don't know where to begin with that one. That's a tough one. But what the children are trying to do is just make sense of the world. They're trying to understand what's going on around them. And what's so beautiful and refreshing about children is, since everything in the world is brand new, including all the things that you and I and, you know, grown-ups take for granted, they can ask these basic fundamental questions like, why is water wet? And we stop noticing that we don't know the answer to that question, probably, unless maybe you're a chemist or something like that. And it's a really interesting question, and it's an important question, but somehow, because we've gotten just used to the world, we stop noticing that that's an interesting question. And that's what happens when you start doing a little bit of philosophy. You start to realize that even the most basic elements of common sense, the basic beliefs we have about the things that exist in the world and their nature, are actually not so clear and not so straightforward and are more complex and interesting and again, mesmerizing than one might have realized. And it's wonderful to begin engaging in that process with the world that we're already so familiar with.
Andrew, have you noticed any changes in your college students over the years as they interface with this whole history of thought that is, you know, philosophy in the West?
That's an excellent question, really a deep one. And I guess anecdotally, I mean, we're all aware that, you know, the current younger generation seems to have a shorter attention span and do more multitasking than we older folks are inclined to do. And we tend to think of that as a worrisome or problematic thing. But even despite that, it seems to me in my about 17 years or so teaching at the college level now that when most students get into a philosophy class, when it's taught at least in sort of the right, engaging, you know, fun sort of way, they can get really turned on by the questions, and they can really enjoy engaging in even the historical tradition of philosophizing. And so I would say, ultimately, I haven't, in my own personal experience, noticed a dramatic change. And maybe it's just because I'm lucky that I've managed to get students who, when they hear the questions posed in the right way, can really get engaged with them.
Andrew Pessin is my guest. He's chair of the Department of Philosophy at Connecticut College, and he's online at andrewpessin.com. His new book is The 62nd Philosopher. You want to tell us about some of the things that are in here? This is a perfect stocking stuffer. Folks looking for something to drop into a stocking for anybody of any age, this is perfect. It'll fit right in there, The 62nd Philosopher. Why don't you give folks some idea of some of the things that are in the book before they go out and buy it?
Sure. I should also mention it's a very small book. It's the type of thing you can stick in your back pocket on, you know, the bus or the subway or something like that. And best of all, it's only $9.95, so it's actually quite inexpensive.
Perfect.
if there's a theme to the essay, what I was trying to find, trying to include in these very short chapters, are really sort of the more, you know, interesting, important, and often counterintuitive ideas. And what I mean by that is we all have common sense ideas about the nature of the world. For example, that time is real and that time flows. So if your listeners are enjoying this conversation, it's going quickly. If they're not enjoying it, then it's going slowly. But in either case, time is flowing. We believe we basically know the difference between right and wrong. We believe that the physical objects around us have colors. You just open your eyes and you see blues and greens and oranges and yellows, etc. And lastly, we believe just on our ordinary experience that we have something like free will, that we largely control or are in charge of our own choices and actions. All of those, the reality of time, that our sense of right and wrong and so forth, are just basic elements of common sense. But it turns out that none of those is as straightforward as one might imagine. So philosophers have questioned the reality of time. They have questioned the reality of colors in the world. And they certainly have questioned whether we genuinely have free will or not. So, the hope is that when people open this book and get engaged in a chapter, they'll begin to realize something they've taken for granted, that time is real or that they act freely or choose freely, should not be taken for granted, that there's real questions to be raised about each of those sorts of things.
And in some profound ways, Andrew, science caught up with philosophers at some point, didn't they, with some of these questions to say, yeah, well, you know what, it's true, not everybody sees the same blue.
I'd say it's a little bit more complicated than that, but what has happened certainly is that science has become has offered information and theories that are relevant to the philosopher's approach to these questions. So professional philosophers often will be very up to date on sort of the latest scientific developments in perception and in physics and in other areas as well. But one doesn't have to know anything about science to appreciate the philosophical questions about the nature of time and of free will and of color as well. And, you know, the book isn't trying to be an exhaustive history of philosophy by no means. It's nothing like that. it's rather trying to get people to see there's actually questions to be asked about the most mundane of things, and that those questions are interesting and actually fun to pursue.
Andrew Pessin is my guest. The book is The 60-Second Philosopher, Expand Your Mind on a Minute or So a Day, and we're giving away a free copy here in just a few minutes. It's a perfect stocking stuffer or Hanukkah gift at this holiday time of year. Andrew, I'm curious, what are your thoughts when you read about it's almost become vogue now, this new atheism, folks like Sam Harris, and I'm actually rereading one of his books on my nightstand at home, and I'm actually quite moved by some of the stuff that he observes in some of the world's literature, historic literature about God and the faith right. literature out there. As a philosopher, what are your thoughts on this whole, it seems like more and more books now about atheism?
Interesting. Of course, the question of God is one of the oldest philosophical questions, and you and I did talk a few months ago about my other more recent book called The God Question, what famous thinkers have said about the divine. So it's an interesting and it's an important question, of course. And what is, I think, interesting just historically is that for most of the many centuries from the beginning of Western religion until today, all the major thinkers were believers. They were theists. Theism was the norm, and there are many interesting philosophical issues raised in their understanding of God, but what wasn't particularly challenged was the very existence of God. As you get to the Enlightenment in the 18th century or so, and the rise of modern science as well, you begin to see the beginning of it being permissible publicly to be an atheist. And of course, this has reached a kind of fever pitch even just in the last few years with what we might see as atheists going on the offensive, really trying to attack and undermine religions. And that's been, very popular. A number of best-selling books, including Sam Harris's, as you mentioned. It's an interesting phenomenon, but what I have noticed in my own experience of it is that, the arguments are about God's existence and nature are more complex than any one book is ever going to be able to deal with. So I don't think that the atheists are going to win the argument anytime soon, but I also think it's actually ultimately very healthy for people to realize just how complex the questions can get. And so when there are people who are vociferous in their atheism, I think that's actually a helpful contribution to the debate. It may not persuade or dissuade any believers from their, to give up their belief or to remove their belief, but it will challenge believers to think more deeply and carefully about the nature and grounds of their belief. So although it gets a little strident at time, I think the debate is really very healthy these days because there's so many different voices contributing to it.
We're talking with Andrew Pessin. He's online at andrewpessin.com. There's links to buy his books and read his blogs there and get all the updates from his work. You can check out The God Question and also The 60-Second Philosopher. Andrew, I have to ask you this. As a guy who teaches philosophy, writes about philosophy, both for, academic and general audiences. You're reading the work of philosophers and rereading all the time. I'm wondering if you have any favorites, whether it's a philosopher or even a favorite text that you just like to return to every now and then to sort of marinate yourself in their thoughts.
That's a terrific question. And on one level, asking that question is almost like asking which of my children is my favorite, And of course, I'm not going to give you any answer there other than each of my children, I have three, offers something unique and wonderful. And there's times when I'm in the mood to, spend time with the older one. There's times when I'm in the mood for the younger one, times when I'm in the mood for the middle one. And the same is sort of true with philosophers and philosophical texts. Different thinkers appeal to different feelings in me or different aspects of me or even different times of day. So there's times I love to engage with Nietzsche, who was a 19th century absolutely crazy German philosopher, but who's profound and insightful and one of the greatest masters of prose that there has ever been in any language, I would venture. And there's other times I deeply engage in the work of René Descartes, the famous I Think Therefore I Am guy, because he's just so careful and methodical. And then there's times when I want to read nothing other than St. Thomas Aquinas, the medieval Catholic theologian, who is extremely opposed to anything Nietzsche or Descartes would have to say, but he is sort of the maximum point of trying to synthesize religious belief with rationality and reason. And what he does is very, very beautiful, even if I don't always agree with it. So I wouldn't say that I have any favorite, but I would say that there are quite a few from whom I can learn a tremendous amount, and no matter how many times I come back to them, I keep learning something new.
Andrew Pessin. He's chair of the Department of Philosophy at Connecticut College. He's online at andrewpessin.com. And his new book is The 62nd Philosopher. Expand your mind on a minute or so a day. Andrew, always great to talk to you. Happy holidays to you.
Likewise. Thank you very much. It was great to be here.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.